Readout 004. Who am I? February 7, 2021. This doesn't actually mean who am I in the sense of who is Doug Lee. This means who are we individually? What defines that? What decides that? It's a concept we have, at least recently, I don't know how long now, have come to call identity. Which is interesting because identity has several definitions and most of the ones I've seen don't actually address what I'm talking about directly. They address equality issues. If two things are the same, then they are identical, that kind of stuff. So I call it who am I more than what is identity. But some people would say that's what I'm going to talk about. I think in modern society, we have a number of answers to that. Some would say, you are what you do. There's a philosopher that said that, and I forget which one. It was quoted by Quato out of Total Recall, of all crazy places to draw a reference. And because of that, I quoted it on my main website, where I have a poem as an intro. This would be a corner if the internet weren't round, etc. Below that I made a reference to this. Anyway. Some would say that. Some would say, I am who I say I am. Some would say, I am what I believe. There's lots of answers. My answer is an image, and that's always made it difficult to explain to people what I think identity or who I am is, means. The image is, sappy though it may be, pun intended, an oak tree. And the reason it's an oak tree is because oak trees are known for being long in their growth and long in their formation, but also very strong and very still, almost protective even. Stable, solid, defined, unshaken by storms. Identity, and I'll now start using that word because we do in modern society use it this way, is, to me, that which makes you up over a long time. But that's even not enough, I think. Because we have this little problem of perceptions. You can tell me all day that you were born to be the President of the United States, but I can't really see you as the President of the United States until you are the President of the United States according to an inaugural ceremony. Who's right about your identity? I would perhaps controversially offer the answer that we can't answer that. And the reason we can't answer that is my perception and your perception are different. So we have different answers. To you, you're the president, or born to be the president. To me, you are not. That in and of itself, to me, is not wrong. It's a natural product of how we perceive and how we differ as people and how we try to assign meanings and sometimes names and properties to individuals so that we can remember them and recognize them. And that's back to what identity is in the biblical or the dictionary sense I've seen. If two things are identical, they're identical. If your memory of someone is consistent with what you observe, you have identity. You have identified someone. Now, this message gets controversial from here, and I totally full well know it. Because right now, there is a fight out there over what identity is, what it means, and who has the right to define it for whom. Jesus at one point said to Peter, well, to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Jesus gave an answer, not Jesus, Peter gave an answer saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And my read of that, as I said in a previous readout, was quite excited. Do you at last believe? Finally, you understand this. You believe it. It's a form of acceptance, and we very well recognize that as a form of acceptance. But I have to make a perhaps controversial point. Jesus did not say, you must call me this. In fact, sometimes he said, don't call me this. Jesus waited for identity of that nature to be professed voluntarily by disciples and other people. Question is why? Jesus knew who he was. I would wager God knew who Jesus was, to say the least. But I don't think, to use modern phrasing, Jesus came down here to force people to see him that way by saying, you must call me the Son of God, while he was on earth. He came down here to show us something. And in that showing of us something, he caused a few people to say, oh, you are this. Why am I going into all this? Because, for one thing, I think I get easily misunderstood on the subject of identity, because I say to people, I don't want you to tell me who to call you, what to say you are. But I'm not trying to say who you are and who you are not. If Peter had said, you were a great man and a good teacher, Jesus might have wanted him to say something else, but I don't think Jesus would have said, Peter, you know better than that. You know who I am. I don't think that's what would have happened. Because you haven't taught someone if you've just told them what to say. You've only made them parrot you. That's very different than belief, understanding, and acceptance. I must say it again. That is very different than belief, and different than understanding, and different than acceptance. It is rote, it is parroting, it is copying. That is it. And that is not generally what people want. Jesus included. If we want people to see us as something, anything, we structure our lives and our behaviors and our interactions such that it is most likely they will. And I believe in a world of free will given by God, that is the only and the best answer that could possibly exist. To try to do more, to say you have to call me this, becomes a problem. Okay, so a couple of funny examples. It is tradition, and even enforced sometimes, that you refer to a king as your majesty. In some cultures, it is common practice and courtesy to refer to an elder by an honorific title. I believe that is true in Japan, for example. In the United States, the president of the United States, we usually say President so-and-so, not Mr. so-and-so. We say Dr. so-and-so when they have a PhD. But that's offered more often here, at least, than demanded. Now, as I say, some places it is demanded, but I'm actually, and perhaps again controversially, offering that that is often a mistake. Especially when it's a matter of belief. One of the more dramatic examples in the world of Christian literature would be in the Left Behind series. His Excellency Nikolai Carpathia. I'm going to bet you that Christians who read that series would not wish to refer to that particular man as His Excellency under any circumstances. And to quote one of the characters in that series, namely George, I recognize the name, not the authority. That's a personal viewpoint. In this country, and I say happily, we are permitted, not necessarily liked for it, but we are permitted to not say some titles like that. I don't know how many presidents would be mad if they were called Mr. I personally don't wish to do that. I have no problem calling a president, or even a king, as long as they're not trying to say they're king over God, and then I have a problem. If I visited the King of England, I believe I could say Your Majesty. That doesn't mean he's my king, because I'm not an English citizen, admittedly. I would be able to say president when speaking to the president of the United States. I don't have any problem with these things. But the point is, that's consistent with my beliefs. A Native American might, and I'm not saying this from any experience, but might not wish to refer to the president as president if that feels to that Native American like an imposition on that person's own beliefs, wherein there is no government over him that was not instituted by his tribe. Is that possible? I wager it's possible. I've never asked any Native Americans this question. But if a Native American came up to me and say, I can't say President Biden because I don't believe he should be authority over me, I would grant him with respect the right to hold that position and not to, and to avoid speaking in a way contrary to that position. Because one, trying to force him is not going to get anything like recognition, understanding, acceptance. Number two, it's going to just make him mad for no reason. And number three, I don't believe my belief system is any more worthy of acceptance or permission to exist than that person's belief system is. Though I will probably cover this in more great deep detail in another readout at some point, I don't know when, I'm going to touch on an issue that a number of you that might run into this are aware has been an issue for me for a while. That would be transgender identity. The transgender community now, or the larger LGBTQIA community, as I believe it's now being dubbed, and technically I fall into that community in one respect, I am classified as asexual. That's what the A means. Another whole topic there. That community has been pushing for the adoption of what is sometimes called preferred pronouns, but a lot of them don't even like that term because the word preferred is annoying to them. Our pronouns might be something they would say. They say, call me what I believe I am, in effect. I believe I am a woman. I am a woman. They'll go so far as to say it. And I may see a man, biologically, and the person I see as a man will say, I am a woman, so call me she. Or I have no gender, I'm non-binary, or I am, what's the other one, bigender. There's lots of different terms. It's a continuum in the community of genders. So that's a perspective and a belief system that has gained a lot of acceptance and popularity. And I don't have a problem with it gaining acceptance and popularity. Where I run into trouble is when it attempts to enforce its system of wording and beliefs and whatnot on everyone who doesn't have it. And we're back to the same issue. If you demand of me that I call you a female when I'm seeing a man, you're not going to get acceptance, understanding, anything like that. You're only going to get annoyance and frustration and difficulty and, honestly, sometimes for me in particular, anxiety, because I don't like to hurt people. But to ask someone to espouse something they don't in word is to make them lie. Now, that terminology has gotten me in trouble in a few circles in the last 2 years. But I have to say it again. If you don't believe it, to be forced to speak as if you do is to be forced to tell yourself and the world what will feel to you like a lie. What the transgender community wants is not that. What the transgender community wants is acceptance, understanding, even belief. That is completely fine. And I know that it is actually succeeding in many places. But not because they're forcing language. Because they are living lives that can make people understand, I think. That's what usually does it for people. I actually believe a fair number of transgender individuals understand what I'm saying. I've had the misfortune of running into many that don't before many who do. But I've run into both now. Doesn't always split along age gaps, age lines either. But that was my history. So I've gone through a huge amount of anxiety over this. Like I said, I may cover that in its own thing sometime. I'm not sure. But for this Who Am I entry, I'm going to come back to the central theme, which is we don't all agree on the identity of one individual. Because our perceptions, that squirrely thing that makes us see things differently in the world in general, will not always agree. And linking back to my readout on what is peace, the nature of peace, readout 002, I believe that in order to have peace, real, lasting, stable peace, we must accept that people are not always going to agree on everything. But we are all to be permitted to contribute to the society in which we live, regardless of that fact. If we can pull that off, I think we will avoid a lot of fighting. And I put this entry of identity in here because it is now a core issue in some circles, at least. I'm not sure if it's a huge issue in the grand scheme of things right now, but it's getting bigger. I think we need to come to terms with the fact that we're even going to have disagreement over the concept of a person's identity, just as we have differences of opinion on the concept of religion, which is a big one. We've had fights over those too. Philosophical questions, moral questions, entire moral frameworks. I was reading recently about sun dances in Indian tribes. A lot of Christians would have a huge problem watching a sun dance. Some of those are pretty vicious from the perspective of non-tribal members. But from a tribal member, my understanding is a lot of those are sacrificial in the sense of offering understanding to women. That's a whole nother topic. But the point is, the concepts and perceptions are different enough. They're not going to agree. And to find lasting peace, we find a way to permit people to differ completely on some things and make their spaces for that to work out well. And then come to the table and negotiate stuff that isn't related, you know. I should be able to sit between a transgender woman, a black person, a Hispanic person, and a Native Indian American, Native American, at the same table, and discuss what we do to design software that works for everybody. By the way, I've just given you my concept of diversity and inclusion again. I mentioned that before too. That's what I think that's supposed to mean. Not that we agree on the philosophies we govern our lives by. In fact, the beauty of having a diverse table like that is whatever comes off that table is going to work for everybody at once. The more perspectives you have, the more kinds of things will be managed in it. Designs are improved by that kind of thing in many cases. It's a lesson that many people in the field of accessibility, that includes me, have learned, is designed for everybody. You can't do that without everybody being different, showing up at the table with their own perspectives to bring to the discussion. So that's why I put this entry in here, is that I want people to come to grips with this idea that even the concept of identity, like the concept of religion and other majorly controversial things, need to be considered as likely or at least possible to differ markedly, and that that should be accepted in a world of peace as kind of par for the course. And we work with it. We don't work against it. We don't work to eradicate it. It's also why I put in the previous readout on what the Christian's job is in the world, because the Christian's job in the world is not, I think, to eradicate other viewpoints. It is to give ours and let people hear.